the Word this morning, and actually it's going to be a history lesson. I need you to sit up, shake yourself, slap yourself, pinch yourself, do something, all right? It's going to be a lot of history. Don't go to sleep on me. Say, I'm an American. All right? You just kick yourself right in the tail, all right? This is important that you understand what I'm going to tell you today. In God we trust. Most people don't know, in God we trust is our national motto in this country. It was made a law in the 1950s that in God we trust was our national motto. Most people don't even know that. Amen? This little series called In God We Trust, I look at different people in American history who have helped in our nation becoming a godly Christian nation. Today, one you think I would have done earlier, Abraham Lincoln. Let's look at old Abe today. You ready? Here we go, Raj. What you got for us? Come on. There he is. Look at him. How many have been to the Lincoln Memorial? There you go. That thing's humongous, isn't it? There he is, the Lincoln Memorial. Abraham Lincoln. It's what we're talking about today. You might say, I've come to church and you're talking about this. Mm-hmm. Don't do it every week. But around the end of June, 4th of July, yeah, I love this country. All right, this country was not an accident. It just didn't happen. God gave us this great nation that we have. Amen? Let's praise Him for that. Come on. That's right. Absolutely. Okay? I don't care what you new folks are saying these days. That's a bunch of bull, all right? Let's look at what the truth is. Abraham Lincoln. Oh,
could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Was Abe Lincoln honest?
Does this dress make my backside look big?
Perhaps it will.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hey, the man was honest. Amen? It did make her backside look big. I'm sorry about that. Here we go. Here we go. Let's talk about Honest Abe today. Y'all listening? Okay, you have permission to hit somebody next to you if they sleep during this. Here we go. Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of America. Under his courageous leadership, America survived the Civil War and remained, say it with me, the what? United States, a man of the highest moral character who was nicknamed Honest Abe. Abraham Lincoln never lost touch with the common man. From being raised in a log cabin and working at clearing land and splitting rails, Lincoln taught himself law. He gained a respected reputation as a lawyer and became the 8th Circuit judge in Illinois. Abraham Lincoln was elected to the Illinois State Legislature, to the United States Congress, and after becoming a national figure through his debate against Stephen Douglas' pro-slavery bill, he was nominated as the Republican candidate for president. Abraham Lincoln. Only 1 week after he was inaugurated as president, the southern states, that's where I'm from, formed the Confederacy, and within a month, the Civil War had begun, with the Confederate Army firing on Fort Sumter on April 12, 1861. The Civil War ended 4 years later on April 9, 1865, with the surrender, here's my general, Robert E. Lee, to General Ulysses S. Grant at Appomattox, Virginia. By the conclusion of the war, over a half million men, say that with me, half million men, one more time, half million men died, which is more than all the combined casualties, all of the wars that America has ever fought. Half a million men died Civil War. 5 days later, after the war was over, 5 days later, on April 14, 1865, after freeing millions of slaves, Abraham Lincoln was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth in Ford's Theater. Who's been to Ford's Theater? Okay? Me as well. Assassinated. Abraham Lincoln. Let's talk about him. Y'all ready or not? Good, here we go. I want you to remember this. The Speaker of the House, Schuyler Colfax, stated, "Nor should I forget to mention here that the last act of Congress ever signed by Abraham Lincoln, the last act of Congress ever signed by Abraham Lincoln, was one requiring that the motto in which he sincerely believed, In God We Trust, should hereafter be inscribed upon all national coins." What was the last thing this man signed? Yeah, pray, come on, pray, give it up for God this morning. Yeah.
What was the last thing he signed? You should know this, church. What's the last thing Abraham Lincoln's pen signed into law? It was that what? Be placed on our what? Remember that. Amen? Come on, that's important. By the way, there it is, that top left one is 1864. 2 cent coin. In 1909, see, he's on it. See him, the penny? 1909, it was put on that penny. In God we trust. So in God we trust is not something the preacher made up today. Amen? Goes way back. It's our national motto. It's on our coins. I started reading about Abraham Lincoln. Like I said, I like history. Especially, you talk about godly heritage, I'm all over that. See, I didn't grow up in my house with a godly heritage. We grew up hellraisers, living like the devil. Anything goes. Amen? But thank God I lived in a country called America, where on television somebody could get on and share the gospel, where up the street people could worship freely. Therefore, I had a chance to be changed. Amen? That's where I live, America. Here we have this building on Sunday morning. Not a Sunday passes, not a Sunday has passed in 8.5 years that men don't gather out front and we pray before we come in this building. And not a single time in 8.5 years have we not thanked God that we get to worship in a public high school building. And we've been able to do it freely. I've had very little opposition in 8.5 years to be able to worship in this facility. Let's praise the Lord for that. Can we do that? That's America. It's awesome. As I started studying Abraham Lincoln, several words popped out. The biggest one that popped out, I'm going to spend the most time on today, and it's the word providence. Can you say that word with me? Providence. And then don't go to sleep on me on that big word. The word is what? You also might find equated with that word sovereignty. The providence of God. The sovereignty of God. What does that word mean? It means divine guidance or care. This nation was founded with divine guidance and care by Almighty God. There's no way you can say anything different about this country's founding. It's incredible. The word also means the power of God sustaining and guiding human destiny. Providence. Abraham Lincoln believed in the providence of God. He believed that God was working through him. He believed that God was working in our country. We need to remember that. Don't you think we ought to remember something like that? Say, people, come on. Let's look at it. Providence. In answering a question of L.E. Chittenden, Abraham Lincoln said that the Almighty does make use of human agencies and directly intervenes in human affairs is one of the plainest statements in the Bible. I've had so many evidences of his direction. So many instances when I have been controlled by some other power than my own will that I cannot doubt that this power comes from where? Above. I frequently see my way clear to a decision when I have no sufficient facts upon which to found it, but I cannot recall one instance in which I followed my own judgment, founded upon such a decision where the results were unsatisfactory. Whereas in almost every instance where I yielded to the views of others, I've had occasion to what? Regret it. I'm satisfied that when the Almighty wants me to do or not to do a particular thing, He finds a way of letting me know it. I am confident it is His design to restore the Union. He will do it in His own good time. What a president. Did you feel that? Let's feel it some more. Come on. And you might not used to be having church like this. You just go ahead and you're going to enjoy this. Come on. You're an American. Say, I'm an American. I'm an American. I know. Yeah, I know. I hear that. You're a Christian. But you live in America. Did you know that, sir? Amen, brother. That's what I'm talking. An American Christian. Christian American. That's where we live. Amen. That's awesome. Here we go. Providence. President Lincoln declared to the delegation from Chicago, I hope it will not be irreverent for me to say that if it is probable that God would reveal His will to others on a point so connected with my duty, it might be supposed He would reveal it directly to me. For unless I am more deceived in myself than I often am, it is my earnest desire to know the will of providence in this matter, and if I can learn it, say it. What it is, say it. I will. Aren't you glad we had a president like that? Most critical time in our nation's history. North against the South. slavery, God had a man named Abraham Lincoln. Isn't that cool? And he believed in divine providence. What do you think? What do you think about God ruling in the affairs of men? You think you have a creator God who sustains and controls? Do you believe that? Have you been brainwashed to believe something else? Believe this country came about by chance, or that God Almighty helped us and helped our leaders in forming this country? Our country is worth fighting for. It's worth standing for. It's worth doing the right thing. So many Christians anymore, you just don't want to say nothing. And you think you're being spiritual. No, you're being weak. It's what you are. You listen to this man. He was strong. He believed in the providence of God. Come on. Eliza Gurney and three other Quakers, he said this to them: if I had my way, this war would never have been commenced. If I had been allowed my way, this war would have ended before this. But we find it still continues. And we must believe that he, God, permits it for some wise purpose of his own. To J.A. Reed, I hold myself in present position and with the authority vested in me as an instrument of providence. I have my own views and purposes. I have my convictions of duty and my notions of what is right to be done. But I am conscious every moment that all I am and all I have is subject to the control, say it with me, of a higher power. And that power can use me or not use me in any manner and at any time, as in his wisdom and might may be pleasing to him. Do you feel him or not? Say. You think Abraham Lincoln believed in God? Blink, he was guided by God through all this craziness that he was present over. It's incredible. Isaiah 55:9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth," would you say that with me? "So are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts." And Abraham Lincoln believed that and knew that, and he put himself and subjected himself to the authority of God ruling in his life. It's incredible. Proverbs 21:1, would you read this one with me? "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he will." That's a great verse on providence, isn't it? Amen? We shouldn't put our faith and our confidence in one man, Democrat or Republican. We put our confidence in God. Amen? But we as God's people should always do the right thing. We should always do the right thing. Amen? If you ever pull a lever voting for a fool, you're an idiot. Quote me. Do the right thing. Amen? Say. Excuse me. Stand up for God and stand up for your country. To the Reverend Brian Sutherland, pastor of the First Presbyterian Church in Washington, where Lincoln attended services, this is what he told the pastor. "The ways of God are mysterious and profound beyond all comprehension. Who by searching can find him out? God only knows the issue of this business. He's destroyed nations from the map of history for their sins. Nevertheless, my hopes prevail generally above my fears for our republic. The times are dark. The spirits of ruin are abroad in all their power. And the mercy of God alone can" what? Wow. Hope you're not getting bored to tears. Providence. Just weeks before the Battle of Gettysburg, a college president asked Lincoln if he thought the country would survive. "I do not doubt that our country will finally come through safe and undivided. But do not misunderstand me. I do not rely on the patriotism of our people, the bravery and devotion of the boys in blue, or the loyalty and skill of our generals. But the God of our" what? "Fathers, who raised up this country to be the refuge and asylum for the oppressed and downtrodden of all nations, will not let it perish now. I may not live to see it. I do not expect to see it. But God will bring us through safe." Is that feeling good or what? I get excited about it. This is great stuff. Lincoln said in a speech to the Presbyterians of Baltimore, "I've often wished that I was a more devout man than I am. Nevertheless, amid the greatest difficulties of my administration, when I could not see any other resort, I would place my whole reliance in God, knowing that all would go well and that he would decide for the what." How about you doing that? Say, how about the preacher doing that? Amen. Do you have that kind of faith that if you put your confidence and faith in God, regardless of what, how bad it might look, that he's going to see you through? You have that kind of confidence? Providence. Speaking to a minister of the Christian Commission, Lincoln said, "If it were not for my firm belief in an overruling providence, it would be difficult for me, in the midst of such complications of affairs, to keep my reason on its seat. But I am confident that the Almighty has plans. He will work them out. And whether we see it or not, the outcome will be best for us."
Isn't that good stuff?
I mean, I'm not used to preaching like this. I'm used to be jumping all around. In his second inaugural address, 45 days before he was assassinated, he said, neither party expected for the war the magnitude or the duration which has already been attained. Both read the same Bible. They pray to the same God. And each invokes his aid against the other. It may seem strange that men should dare ask a just God's assistance in wringing the bread from the sweat from the other men's faces. Not that we be not judged. The prayers of both could not be answered. That of neither has been answered fully. The Almighty has his own purposes. And he quoted this verse, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses comes." If we shall suppose that American slavery is one of those offenses which in the providence of God must needs come, but which having continued through his appointed time, he now wills to remove, and that he gives to both North and South this terrible war whom the offense came, shall we discern therein any departure from those divine attributes which the believers in a living God always ascribe to him? Fondly do we hope, fervently do we pray, that this mighty scourge of war may speedily pass away. Yet if God will that it continue until all the wealth piled by the bondsman, 250 years of unrequited toil, shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid by another drawn with the sword, as was said 3,000 years ago, so still it must be. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous together. Did you get all that big quote? God's righteous. God is sovereign. Wow. Abraham Lincoln. Well, that's crazy providence, wasn't it? Y'all, history lesson with Uncle Gary. Amen. Isn't it funny, a southern boy doing this northern guy? Isn't it crazy? Now? Here we go. What did he believe about prayer? Say that with me. What did he believe about prayer? James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of what? Righteous man availeth much. In mourning and pray, and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Psalm 55:17. What did Abraham Lincoln believe about prayer? Did he believe in prayer? We're duped to believing today that you can't serve in political office and have strong convictions and views in God. That's the craziest thing on the planet, isn't it? Say, would to God men would still stand like this. Amen? Come on, church. President Lincoln once told Noah Brooks, "I've been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day." How about you? Keep going. Another quote. "It's fit and becoming in all people at all times to acknowledge and revere the supreme government of God, to bow in humble submission to his chastisement, to confess and deplore their sins and transgressions." He established a national day of prayer. It's still celebrated in this country. "In the full conviction that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, to pray with all fervency and contrition for pardon of their past offenses and for a blessing upon their present and prospective action. And whereas when our own beloved country, once by the blessings of God united, prosperous, and happy, is now afflicted with faction and civil war, it is peculiarly fit for us to recognize the hand of God in this terrible visitation, and in sorrowful remembrance of our own faults and crimes as a nation and as individuals, to humble ourselves before him, to pray for his what? Mercy. That inestimable boon of civil and religious liberty earned under his guidance and and sufferings of our fathers may be what? Restored. Good stuff, man. Thank you, Mr. Abraham Lincoln. He established another national fast day. Whereas the Senate of the United States devoutly recognizes the supreme authority and just government of Almighty God and all the affairs of men and nations, has by resolution requested the President to designate and set apart a day of national prayer and humiliation. We're walking on, Raj. I'm going to have to skip some stuff. You can go to the web and find it. Let's keep going to another one, buddy. It's going to be hard on you, ain't it? It's easier for me to read, isn't it? Prayer. How about Thanksgiving? How many like Thanksgiving? Say. You know where it come from? Abraham Lincoln. We don't even know about Thanksgiving. We thought like the pilgrims getting together with the Indians, it just sort of happened one day. You bring some stuff, I bring some stuff, we have a dinner, and hey, let's watch a football game. Amen? Now what we do? It's awesome. Here we go. October 3rd, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln issued a formal proclamation passed by an act of Congress initiating the annual National Day of what? Thanksgiving. Here's what he said. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. You know what the word mercy means? Say it. Price paid. Good church. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States and those who are sojourning in foreign lands to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. It is announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord. It has seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. Isn't that great? Now, you learned something today, yes or no? Where'd the coins come from in God We Trust? What was his name? Where'd Thanksgiving come from? What was his name? There you go, people. Did he believe in the providence of God and the sovereignty of God? Did he believe in prayer? Absolutely. So when some leader stands up and says, I don't think we should do that, you say, you need to hush. That's craziness. Amen? Come on. As General Lee led his army of 76,000 men into Pennsylvania, panic took hold of Washington. In the midst, President Lincoln remained strangely confident. He later related this to a general wounded at Gettysburg. When everyone seemed panic-stricken, I went to my room and got down on my knees before Almighty God and I prayed. Soon after, comfort crept into my soul that God Almighty had taken the whole business into his own hands. Isn't that crazy? When 76,000 people or soldiers are marching on you, are you crazy? Prayer is awesome, isn't it? Come on. At one point during the Civil War, President Lincoln overheard someone say that he hoped the Lord was on the Union side. Lincoln straightway forwardly replied, I'm not at all concerned about that, for I know that the Lord is always on the side of what? Right. But it is my constant anxiety and prayer that I and this nation should be on the Lord's side. Good stuff. I like that too, bro. Abraham Lincoln. What did he believe of providence? Did he believe in it? Mm-hmm. What did he believe about prayer? Did he believe in it? Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. What did he believe about the Bible? For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Say that with me, would you? Thy Word is my feet, and it's a light unto my path. Did Abraham Lincoln believe in the Bible? It's almost a silly question, isn't it? In the summer of 1864, an old friend of Lincoln's, his name was Joshua Speed, he observed President Lincoln reading the Bible, and he remarked, I'm glad to see you profitably engaged. If you have recovered from your skepticism, I'm sorry I have not. Wrong, Speed. Take all that you from this book and reason and take the best of it on faith, and you will live and die a happier man. Have you got? Hey, how many of you read hard things in the Bible you don't understand, right? Sure you do. Sure you do. And instead of trying to act like God and get on your high pedestal and you know what I'm saying? People do that. Yeah, I can't believe that's in the Bible. Why don't you do what Lincoln said? Why don't you take what most of it, it's just reason. It makes just good common sense. There's certain areas that are difficult. Why don't you take that on faith and give God the benefit of the doubt? Isn't that a good way to live? Good stuff. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of what? Just a little bit. You shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Believe that book. Have faith in God. Abraham Lincoln did. And he had a whole lot harder life to live than you did. I'm telling you right now. Hardest time in our nation's history. As reported in the Washington Chronicle on September 5th, President Lincoln addressed the Committee of Colored People from Baltimore, acknowledging the elegant Bible which they had presented him. About the Bible, he says, in regard to this great book, I have but to say I believe the Bible is the best gift God has given to man. All the good Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for this book, we could not know right from wrong. All things most desirable for man's welfare here and hereafter are to be found portrayed in it. To you, I return my most sincere thanks for the elegant copy of the great book of God which you present. Isn't that refreshing? Say, how do you feel about the Bible? I hope that gives you a little encouragement. Great people who stood for this nation, they believe the Word of God. I should believe the Word of God. Amen? Come on. What do you believe about this? Church. Abraham Lincoln didn't go to church for most of his life. It's true. You'd think he's there all the time, wouldn't you say? As I was studying him, I found that odd. Jesus said, and I say unto you, you're Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Church. What did Abraham believe about? What did he believe about church? Did he not want to go to church? What's up with that? What's happening? Abraham Lincoln was quoted as saying, I love this. This is the quote I came across this. I loved it, man. This is great. I'm going to put this on a t-shirt. Whenever any church will inscribe over its altar as a qualification for membership the Savior's statement of the substance of the law, I'm going to read that again because this is so important to me. Are y'all awake? You are now. Whenever any church will inscribe over its altar as a qualification for membership the Savior's statement of substance of the law and gospel, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbors thyself, that church I will join with all my heart and all my soul. Did you hear what he said? This is what the man said. I mean, I'm serious. Is that what the man said? We love Jesus and we love people. Say that with me. We love and we love. That's exactly what he said. Years ago when we started this ministry, that was the bottom line. That we're to love God. We're to love Jesus. We're to, with our heart and our soul, and we're to love people. And that's what I wanted Fellowship Church to be about. I'm not trying to blow my horn. I'm just trying to say that's what the Bible teaches. And Abraham Lincoln was ticked off about like everybody else with all the rules and all the doctrine, all the dogma, and all of this, and I served this, and I did that, and I was this, and I was that. And he said, well, you can have it all. I'll stay at home. Pretty much what he said. He said, if I can find a place where they love God with all their heart, soul, and strength, and they love the neighbors herself, sign me up. Amen? So I'm probably going to get a shirt, maybe put his face on it, and say, Abe Lincoln would go here, Fellowship Church. That's what he said. I love that quote. That made all my study worthwhile this week. During 1862, tragedy struck. You're never going to find a perfect church. And Lincoln couldn't do it on his own. Tragedy struck as their little son Willie died at age 12. It killed him. He's in the midst of the Civil War. Slavery. Horrible. And now his son dies. Many noticed that Lincoln was seen more frequently with a Bible in his hand after that. They'd see him and he'd be praying more after that. From this time on, Lincoln regularly attended the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church on Sundays. Often he would go there on Wednesday nights for the prayer meeting until his untimely death 3 years later. His pastor was Dr. Phineas Gurley, pastor of the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church. He affirmed the death of Willie Lincoln in 1862 in his visit to Gettysburg, battlefield 1863, finally led to what? Personal faith in... I'm going to tell you something, church. Listen to me. You can have been raised Baptist, Catholic. You could be all that. But listen, even Abraham Lincoln had to come to Jesus. Are y'all hearing me today or not? And somehow, some of you in this room, you might still hold on to the fact, well, I did this, or I went to this church, or I know that. So I guess you're better than Abraham Lincoln, ain't you? And you've done what? If Abraham Lincoln needed Jesus, you need Jesus. Amen? Though God spoke to him, he prayed to him, he came to the place in his life where he absolutely said, I can't handle this. I can't get myself from here to heaven. I can't handle the pain of losing my boy. I need you in my life. Isn't that awesome? Have you come to that place? I hope you can say yes. Yes, Pastor. I've come to that place. I firmly believe Abraham Lincoln would come here. I love that. Amen. Good stuff. Finally, much Raj, we're done this morning. Can we just pass that up? Go to the web sometime and see what Abraham Lincoln believed about slavery. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I think it's understood by history that Abraham Lincoln didn't believe in slavery. Matter of fact, one quote, we won't look at it, Raj. You go on to where we're going to go to. But one quote was this. He basically based his whole presidency on freeing the slaves. And he said, basically, if he couldn't, or if he changed his mind or whatever on that thinking, he said, I'd rather be assassinated on this very spot. Little did he know what kind of prophet he was. So he believed in freedom. Every man is created equal by their Creator. Amen? And that's what we feel here at Fellowship. Rich, poor, high, low, black, white, male, female, young, old, you matter here. Amen. You matter to God. You're loved. Sinners that sin bad, sinners that don't sin as bad, we're still all what? Sinners. Amen. That's what Abraham Lincoln believed. He believed in freedom. And so we believe in freedom. Because the Bible teaches freedom. Amen. Read the Gettysburg Address sometimes. I'm not going to read it for you today. Time is not going to permit me to do so. I've got all that. You can go all the web. You can spend time right there and read every single quote that we've had. I really wish that you would. Keep looking. Lincoln's final words. On April 14th, 1865, 5 days. Say 5 days with me. 5 days. One more time. 5 days after the Civil War had ended, Abraham Lincoln went to the Ford's Theater with his wife, Mary Todd Lincoln. She was the lady in the dress. Excuse me. She recalled his last words as they sat there. What were Lincoln's last words? This is what his wife said. He said he wanted to visit the Holy Land and see those places hallowed by the footprints of the Savior. He was saying there was no city he so much desired to see as Jerusalem. And with the words half spoken on his tongue, the bullet of the assassin entered the brain, and the soul of the great and good president was carried by the angels into the new Jerusalem above. Last word. Yeah, good stuff. That's where you come from, church. Amen? Yeah, we're absolutely a Christian. I agree with two or three that said it. Man, we're a Christian first. Amen? Believer in Christ. But boy, am I so glad to be an American and live in this great country. It's incredible. William McKinley gave his assessment of President Abraham Lincoln. The purposes of God working through the ages were perhaps more clearly revealed to him than to any other. He was the greatest man of his time, especially approved of God for the work he gave him to do. Amen. Slavery ended. The Civil War ended. Incredible. The Lincoln Memorial. Lincoln's own words are inscribed into the walls of the Lincoln Memorial for those that say we're not a Christian nation. That this nation under God shall have new birth of freedom. That government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from the earth. At the opposite end, on the north wall, his second inaugural address alludes to God, the Bible, providence, the Almighty, and divine attributes. It then continues. As was said 3,000 years ago and still must be said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, Psalm 19:9. And right under R and altogether, that's where it's, I can see it here on stage. I can see it right there on the monument, that scripture. Abraham Lincoln. Some closing words from this great man. They're not long. Abraham Lincoln said, "Common looking people are the best in the world. That's the reason the Lord made so many of them." Amen. And you know what? I really love this quote from him. Meant a lot to me this week in my office. No man is poor who has a godly mother. Amen. Come on. Right there. Couple of other ones. The philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. God help us. And then finally, the only assurance of our nation's safety is to lay our foundation in morality and religion. And when he was saying religion, he's talking about belief and faith in Jesus Christ. Flat out, period. Amen? So there we go today. In God we trust. Abraham Lincoln. Let's praise the Lord for our country. Amen? And for his blessing. Praise God.